Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear, page by page. This is page 266. Talent and six jots onto the glass top of the display case. As I did, I noticed it had the slightly oily texture of twice tough glass. I ran my hand over it, wondering idly if it was one of the pieces I had made at the fishery. As the jeweler gathered up the coins, I noticed something else. Something inside the case. A bauble caught your eye? He asked smoothly. I pointed at a necklace in the center of the case. You have excellent taste, he said, pulling out a key and unlocking a panel in the back of the case. This is quite an exceptional piece. Not only is the setting elegant, but the stone itself is remarkably fine. You don't often see an emerald of this quality cut in a long drop. Is it your work? I asked. The jeweler gave a dramatic sigh. Alas, I cannot claim that distinction. A young woman brought it in several span ago. She had more need of money than adornment, it seems, and we came to an arrangement. How much would you like for it? I asked as casually as possible. He told me. It was a staggering amount of money, more money than I had ever seen in one place. Enough money that a woman might live comfortably in Imra for several years. Enough money for a fine new harp, enough for a lute of solid silver, or if she desired, a case for such a lute. The jeweler sighed again, shaking his head at the sad state of the world. It is a shame, he said. Who can tell what drives young women to such things? Then he looked up and smiled, holding the teardrop emerald to the light with an expectant expression. Still, her loss is your gain. Since Denna had mentioned the barrel and boar in her note, I decided to start looking for her there. My loot case hung heavier on my shoulders now that I knew what she'd given up to pay for it. Still, one good turn deserves another, and I had hoped the return of her ring would help balance things between us. But the Barrel and Boar wasn't an inn, merely a restaurant. Without any real hope, I asked the host if someone might have left a message for me. Nobody had. I asked if he remembered a woman who had been there the night before. Dark hair? Lovely? He nodded at that. She waited for a long while, he said. I remember thinking, who would keep a woman like that waiting? You would be amazed at how many inns and boarding houses there are, even in a smallish city like Imra. And that's the page and the chapter.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
So the first thing I want to talk about before it gets forgotten, that Quoth describes Denna as dark-haired and lovely. Not too much to go on, but the guy immediately pegs to it. Now, lovely, there's that word again. A word that when Quoth conjures Denna, the first thing he thinks of is her hair and the word lovely. And then when he says it, the guy's like, yeah, I totally know exactly who you're talking about. All I'm saying is, could it be that Denna's walking around with some kind of juju in her hair that makes people think she's lovely? And it's not just Quoth, it's everyone that she's encountering right now. And, like, this is maybe the first knot she's mastered or something like that. Because, anyway, later on, Quoth does read the knot in her hair, and it does read lovely. That's all. That's the first thing I wanted to say. Now we can talk about what's actually on the page.
All right. Sounds good. Good theory. I am also curious about it, but on the fence, don't really know. What I wanted to say on the page is that just before the Tildebrand, I remembered what it was called today. Personal self-pat on the back. Right before the Tildebrand, he says, still, her loss is your gain. Which, obviously, Quoth doesn't buy this necklace. There's no way he could afford it.
No. He means, well, he is trying to do a sales, obviously. His loss is your gain.
Yes, but because his sales is the end of the Tildebrand, it almost has the impression upon the reader that Quoth bought it. But there's no way he bought it.
But he benefited from it because Denna sold it to pay for the loot case.
Yes, true.
Yeah, but the guy in the store doesn't know that.
No, but it's a bit of, I don't know if it's dramatic irony or what, but we understand that it has a double meaning to Quoth because he realizes that Denna gave up a lot of money for his gain.
Although, I also want to say, if it's worth that amount of money, then maybe she used it to buy more than just his loot case.
That's true.
You know, like,
it's,
this
doesn't
might
need
be,
to be a one-to-one.
This might be an instance of Quoth thinking a little more highly of himself than he might otherwise warrant, right? Like, Denna, I think we have figured out by now that Denna uses the gifts that men give her to live on, and that is means that eventually when she's, like, run out of use for a piece of nice jewelry, she's going to sell it to make herself some money.
Which makes perfect sense.
So she might also be using that money to, like, pay for her lodgings and her food, as well as, oh, I made, like, a tidy bundle off of this very nice necklace. I will also buy Quoth this gift, but I will also use it to, like, pay my rent.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I don't think that she necessarily traded it and then spent all the money immediately on the loot case. I think it's reasonable to assume that there's a bit of change in there that she could use. Mm.
But it
still,
does,
it's, you know, it's giving up a lot for Quoth is what we're meant to take away from it. And
well,
I think
yeah.
that still is
and,
relevant.
And what Quoth takes away from it, too, is like he feels like this obligation and this guilt. Like, Denna spent all this money on little old me. Gosh, I have to do something to pay her back. Which is, like, maybe not the frame of mind you want to take when you have been given a gift.
Yeah, friendship is not transactional.
Yeah, and neither exactly. is gift giving. If gift giving was transactional, it would be a purchase.
Yes.
And it's not like he's never done anything for her and hasn't just done a lot for her also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But of course, because they both seem to have this sense of worthlessness, they both think that the other one is spending way more of their time and effort than they deserve.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed.
A true tragedy.
Also, I like the last line on this page is doing a lot. You would be amazed how many inns and boarding houses there are even in a smallish city like Imra, meaning that as soon as he doesn't find her at the restaurant, he spends the rest of his day searching every possible place she could be with no luck.
Yep. Definitely. A lot is stored in there.
I have my main note for this page, however, it is to be the last note, so get your notes out.
Bring it to us!
This is the end of a chapter. It was a very short chapter. This chapter was called Baubles, obviously referring to the baubles of both the ring and the necklace.
Mm-hmm. And specifically to the way that the jeweler sort of pounces on Quoth when he sees him eyeing something in the shop. He's like, aha, something's caught your eye, young sir. A bauble, perhaps?
One of these little trinkets.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing really, just a trifle.
Yeah, just a trifle that's very, very expensive.
All I want is your voice.
Also, just because there's too much Skyrim in my house, the name Baubles, like, I read the chapter title and instantly a Skyrim quote popped into my head, and there's, like, a shop owner, and he goes, beautiful baubles and gleaming gemstones over here! And, like, it's, like, the thing that that character says every time you get near him. So it's, like, in my brain.
That's an example of, I think, a bark, perhaps, which is...
Yes,
which
it is a bark. Yeah.
Listeners, if you want to learn where I learned that term, you can listen to this month's Patreon episode where we talk to narrative designer Olivia Alexander about writing for video games.
Cool.
Yep, you should do it. It's a great conversation.
Yeah. Also, bauble is one of those words that's, like, a little bit archaic and old-fashioned, and it makes me think of Darkest Dungeon, where, like, the sort of narrator of the game will call out various things. Like, when sometimes when you get treasure in that game, he goes, glittering gold, trinkets and baubles, paid for in blood.
Ooh, dark and spooky.
Yeah, but bauble also has a bit of a negative connotation. It implies that it is pretty but not worth that much. Kind of worthless.
Not useful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is also, I think, part of the sales tactic on this page, because
he's playing,
you know, he's
it
like,
down.
Oh, yeah, these fancy things, they're just mere baubles.
Yes, well, he also is assuming that Quoth is wealthy enough that they are, like, that he can afford to buy pretty baubles.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. My first understanding of baubles was Christmas ornaments.
Yeah,
I thought
exactly.
that those were baubles.
That is
and
a bauble.
Yeah, that's eventually it was explained to me that other things were baubles too.
Really, anything can be a bauble if you believe in it.
Could I be a bauble? Can I grow up to be a bauble one day?
Jordana, you already are a bauble.
Great, thanks. It's always what I've dreamed of.
And listeners, we are ear baubles for your ears on tomorrow's page
of
The Wind.
Wind.